Mondays too? Well, we're all
No, no, just on Wednesday.
Just dragging us
Monday
down.
We won't.
Yeah.
But
I'm
Rules
not
is Tuesday, Thursday.
Good either, because he's going to be more effective. But actually, get things going. But I don't know. But I think I'd still rather go with Pence because
what's the date
today? Today is 7th.
Pence.
Call the House Committee on Health Care to order. June 7th.
You might not.
And we're going to open up an informational meeting. We're going to talk a bit about naturopathic foods. President Lively, would you like to join us, please?
It's an old home school day. Homecoming.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Lively, House District 12 representative from Springfield. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit today regarding naturopathic physicians and House Bill 3400. Those that have served since I have know that this is one of the issues that I've worked on since I've been in the House and when I served on the Health Care Committee. I feel strong about, you know, overall, I've always advocated for not just naturopaths, but others to be able to practice at the height of their credentials, and that ultimately from a standpoint of pay parity or how they get reimbursed, that they be all be treated at the same level. And so this is consistent with how I feel we need to. And that's driven by several things, but most importantly, it's driven by the access and availability of physicians to patients, to our citizens in that, given we're going to continue to face, I believe, shortages in key areas, and especially shortages from a standpoint of primary care physicians. So some of you have heard and know this. So in my health history, I've been fortunate enough over the years to have pretty good insurance. And in many cases, that insurance paid for a naturopath to be my primary care physician, but not always the case. But my wife and I were fortunate that even when it did not, we could afford to do that. One of the reasons I feel strong about this is one of the things I know, we all have different health needs and all respond different to different types of treatment. And in my particular case, in many cases, and I have a very fine MD besides my naturopath. In my particular case, though, much of the standard medicine that's practiced in Western United States didn't work. And my health was not very good. And if it were not for my naturopath and the guidance and professional that person provided to me, I wouldn't be as healthy as I am today. And the reality is, like I say, I go back to, so the reality is it worked for me. I know and understand it doesn't necessarily work for everybody. But in the base care, so in the base care of a primary care physician, I believe, and I think most people do and know, they're trained to be able to do that, and requiring different additional requirements, credentialing and things, I just don't think that's reasonable. That's what they're trained to do and do a very good job. But in my case, they went beyond that on other things. But so this is just another one of those things. If we look at the overall providing health care, making sure people have access to providers and making sure they have access to a wide range of providers that may work for others and don't, I think this is an important step. So I think it's important what this bill tries to address. One of the other issues when I was first involved with CCOs and CCOs recognizing naturopaths as primary care, and I know we started that process where more of them were doing that so they were on their panels, but I just see this as another part of that conversation and moving towards so they're not discriminated against or prevented from being able to practice medicine, being available to all citizens. So I appreciate your ongoing discussion about this and look forward to all of us being able to continue to make progress on making sure our citizens have the care that they deserve.
Wonderful, Bobby. Thank you. Let me put a little statement on the record that will go with your statement, complimented perhaps. I've been involved in studying health policy for a long time. My first article, I think, was a little over 50 years ago in this field. The field's changed over the last 50 years, but back in my salad days, I guess you would say, naturopathy was kind of fringy, and it was also very narrowly focused. Mm-hmm. It was focused on dealing entirely with natural products and with the relationship between natural products and the body. It had a very specific way, and naturopaths were, I think, very narrowly trained. over time, just in my 15 years here, naturopaths have expanded their scope of practice in very significant ways. Started with a very narrow formulary that they were doing what would be called natural products. They expanded that formulary on several, we've expanded that formulary for them on a couple of occasions, using some philosophical syllogisms like antibiotics are obviously natural because they start from biotics and become antibiotics. Moving now even to issues of surgery, which I think was pretty much unheard of for a while. And some of us haven't caught up psychologically with where the field is going. So I think it's very important for us to look at this very carefully, and we're having some interesting testimony about where naturopathy is now, how it relates to the rest of medical care, how it relates to medical education. For them, I think it's time to have that discussion.
I appreciate that, and I agree entirely.
Any other comments or observations? Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. I'm always a pleasure to be here.
Definitely a pleasure to have you. Will you call the panel?
Jeff Clark, Albert DiPerio, and Jennifer Hicks.
I think all of you have had a chance to hear my soliloquy on this, and it would be good if you commented.
Okay, Chairman Greenlee, committee members, thank you for this hearing and this opportunity to testify. For the record, my name is Jeff Clark. I'm an Oregon-licensed naturopathic physician in private practice in Tualatin. I'm here today representing the Oregon Association of Naturopathic Physicians, or as we call it, OANP for short. I don't want to make you do all of this, but I just wanted to make sure you knew that we did submit a fair amount of information, a very detailed background story on how we come to be here today. I put together a fact sheet last year regarding comparisons of education and other things of MDs, NPs, and MDs, and then also a letter from our licensing board. But they're just there for your reference. We'll not try to drag you through all that today. Naturopathic physicians have been licensed in the state of Oregon since 1927. Some people find that to be shocking news. To this day, however, we continue to struggle in an uphill battle for equitable treatment by health insurers. In 2015, this committee, the legislature, and the governor passed into law, House Bill 3301, a law requiring health insurers to create a pathway for MDs to credential as PCPs under their plans. PCP is a necessary status to remove barriers to care and to allow patients to access what, at least for now, is 100% covered essential health benefits. In 2017, it continues to be remain impossible for me and most of my ND colleagues practicing in Oregon to credential as a PCP with health plans issued by Moda, Providence, and others. The new barrier of the moment is the inconsistently applied mandatory requirement for a residency experience of 1 or 3 years in order to be credentialed as a PCP. This is a requirement that Oregon does not make for licensure and entry into practice for naturopathic doctors. Inconsistent because nurse practitioners who graduate with a two-year master's degree and not a four-year doctorate degree do not face the same mandatory requirement. NPs can always credential without a residency, either immediately upon licensure or after a year of work experience, depending on the carrier. Most NP PCPs currently practicing in Oregon have never had a residency experience. My profession is working diligently to add residency opportunities for new graduates, and there are now more opportunities than when I graduated 10 years ago. They are all privately funded, and we have a very, very long ways to go to achieve the nearly universal publicly funded residency opportunities that are there for MDs and DOs. Because I will never have a residency experience now at the age of 58, and after a decade of experience after my graduation, I will never be able to meet these credentialing criteria to become a PCP. Ironically, though, I can host and train an ND resident in my clinic under my supervision, who upon completion of that experience would be able to credential as a PCP with these very same insurers. After House Bill 3301 passed into law, we negotiated diligently and in good faith and at great length with the insurers to assist them in developing consistent and equitable criteria. We continue to feel strongly that allowing a work experience in place of a residency, as is allowed for nurse practitioners, is a reasonable compromise on the residency question. For reasons that can only be viewed by us as arbitrary and not evidence-based, both Moda and Providence, setting the example for other insurers, have chosen to persist with discriminatory credentialing practices in regards to the naturopathic profession. When our efforts at negotiating with their insurers failed, we engaged the Oregon Insurance Division. Since House Bill 3301 placed the law under their jurisdiction to regulate. The Oregon Insurance Division has been verbally supportive, acknowledging that credentialing discrimination is apparent to them also, but to date, apparently unwilling to act. I have more details of that in my written testimony. Which brings us to today. We'd like for there to be new legislation that is airtight, with the reliable means of enforcement to end once and for all the systemic health insurance discrimination against naturopathic physicians. Naturopathic physicians have been licensed by the state of Oregon since 1927 and who have the desire, training, scope of practice, and available treatment resources to be independent acting PCPs for the benefit of patients in this state. Thank you for this opportunity.
I guess I'd like to comment on that too, but are there any other comments? Going back into my history now, to the good old days. The good old days, many physicians didn't do internships or residencies. They came out and became what we refer to as general practitioners, as opposed to family practitioners or primary care doc. And that was really viewed as not being sufficient training for a physician to be only out of medical school without having at least an internship. Consequently, the MDs changed over time, over the last 25 or 30 years. You think that was a mistake? You think it would have been
adequate
at that point to have a physician just out of medical school become a primary care doctor?
Chairman, so in my research on this topic, what I've discovered is that in this state, and medical doctors are the only one that has a statutory requirement for a residency. And nothing about this testimony is to devalue what that training experience brings to the table. That, however, is not the story for all of the practitioners who are currently involved providing primary care. And I mentioned nurse practitioners. Physician's assistants might be in that group too, except for that they have a requirement for supervision. Naturopathic physicians, nurse practitioners are independently acting providers, again, with the scope focused, I think, at the level of providing primary care. In my four-year education, I spent 3 years in clinic learning through doctors and residents how to care for patients. And certainly, medicine is one of those things which practicing is kind of like golf, if you will, that you're never there. There's always more, and there's always more experience. So learning constantly, always. The thing about being in Oregon and being in Portland area where I'm at is that I've always had a lot of resources to go to help. Also, in our current context, we also have a very broad referral network of people doing advanced care. And we're trained heartily to do that when we feel like we're in over our heads, even if it is something we should be able to treat.
But certainly naturopaths more emulate or see themselves in relationship to MDs than they do in relationship to nurse practitioners. Is that not?
I don't know if I've taken time for that self-reflection. I know we do different things. As you've mentioned in your soliloquy, as you know, things have certainly evolved. I haven't been here since 1927 in any regard, but in the 10 years since I graduated, in the 10 years I've been practicing, and from my very start, you know, I was taught day one, you're here to learn primary care, not brain surgery, not heart surgery, not open cavity surgery. And that one of the very first and most important safety measures that was drilled into, to me at least, was that you need to know when to refer. And I don't know that that is an adequate answer to should a residency be there or not, but it works in two-year degrees, and it should be sufficient at least as a starting place now for us.
Okay, and we'll go on this one.
Alonzo Leon.
Representative Alonzo Leon, please.
Thank you, Chair. I guess I need to have a little bit of a better understanding when you say that the insurances discriminate against naturopathic physicians. Are you referring to the billing aspect of it? But what in billing specifically are you referring to? That'll help me kind of better understand. Certainly, I'm very supportive of people getting medical treatment with the physicians or the different opportunities that are out there. I mean, for a while, acupuncture wasn't considered, and now it's part of the norm, and I fully support acupuncture, and I definitely have had naturopathic doctors in my life that I really appreciated were there when I needed them. So can you just give me a little bit more?
Sure. Representative and Chair, so the issues that started us down this path with House Bill 3301 is that not having access to the primary care credentialing put up barriers to patient access.
Okay.
Patients were not able to come and see a naturopathic doctor for an essential health benefit and have it be covered as part of that. There are higher copays, and in the very worst case, a specialist, which is what we were declared not upon our request or involvement, sometimes you have to actually get a referral from a PCP to even go see a naturopathic doctor. And you know, and in my own view of the world, that was just completely circular because I really am just a primary care doctor and nothing more. And to be a specialist, you know, means to me a lot of other things. As far as billing goes, that's not the main focus of this, but we continue to suffer some pretty egregious reimbursement discrimination as well, which I've pointed out on the charts that I've provided for you.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. thank you, Chair Greenlick and members of the committee. I am Albert DiPiero. I'm co-founder and chief medical officer of Zoom Care, and I'm also a practicing general internist. Thanks again for having us here to talk about this very important topic. In addition, I want to thank Representative Malmstrom for sponsoring House Bill 3400, which built on the strong anti-discrimination policies championed by Representative Lively and other members of the House of this Health Committee. In my role at Zoom Care, I think I'm in a unique position to speak about both the clinical and business aspects of the effects of insurer and health system actions against naturopathic doctors. And I will go through and describe these for you. I've submitted my written testimony, so I'll try to touch on the key aspects of this. Zoom Care is an integrated delivery system. We have 25 clinics in Oregon delivering the full spectrum of care, including primary care and specialty care, delivered by MD physicians, NPs, PAs, and NDs, naturopathic doctors. We started Zoom Care 11 years ago with a vision of delivering on-demand frontline care to Oregonians. And to fulfill this vision, we needed to find capable generalist providers who could deliver both primary care and urgent care. In my role, hence I've been in a critical position just out there searching for the right providers to deliver this type of primary and frontline care. We thought when we started that the best providers would be family physicians, MD-DO family physicians. And so that's what we started searching for. But we quickly discovered, first, there were not enough of these primary care physicians to fill the need. And frankly, the MDs did not have the temperament or passion for delivering frontline care. So we started hiring PAs and NPs. And we were soon confronted with a few facts that I think are relevant to this discussion today. First, the medical establishment said, this is dangerous. PAs and NPs would not be able to deliver care in the dispersed clinics that we had. Safety would suffer, quality would suffer. Second thing, though, that we discovered was PAs and NPs were the perfect providers to deliver this care. First, they scored very high, often higher than MDs on our pre-hire clinical testing. And they loved the work. They were passionate about delivering frontline care. They wanted to be frontline providers. So Zoom started hiring NPs and PAs. And we sponsored and supported the passage of laws that made it easier to use, especially PAs, in this dispersed clinical model. Including passage of the supervising physician organization and supervising physician dispensing drug outlet. What we learned through this work was that allowing providers to practice at the top of their license with training, mentoring, and clinical support resulted in the creation of a very high-performance clinical team. And we're very grateful for members of the Oregon Legislature, the Oregon Medical Board, and Oregon Board of Pharmacy for working with us to craft better policy to deliver modern frontline care. 11 years later, our competition is now aggressively hiring PAs and NPs to fill their primary care needs. So, faced with the increased competition and still a fairly small pool of PAs and NPs to choose from, we started to look at naturopathic doctors. We hired one. She was terrific. She had friends and colleagues, and so we started hiring those folks, and we discovered a vast, untapped pool of very qualified, licensed providers who are passionate about frontline care. Internally, we coined the phrase performance, not pedigree. What we meant by that was we would not discriminate against a certain class of provider when hiring. As long as they were licensed and clinically sound, we would use them to deliver care. And today we have dozens of NDs delivering standard Western medicine in our clinics. And I can really say without hesitation that I have complete confidence in the primary care and urgent care that these providers are delivering today. Furthermore, I think from a policy perspective, most folks would say the type of care we're delivering today is exactly what this country needs. We need easy to access, just dispersed frontline care for the masses. And I think the U.S. is one of the few countries that really continues to try to use overly trained, overcompensated MDs like me to deliver primary care. We see, and I see no medical or clinical reason to exclude NDs or PAs and NPs from delivering that type of care. That's really the empirical experience clinical story from Zoom. But there's also an important business story I'd like to talk about here now. As Dr. Clark explained earlier, insurers have placed barriers to credentialing NDs as primary care providers. And these barriers are just random and capricious. They're blocking duly qualified and licensed NDs from delivering care to patients in Oregon. PAs and NPs have really been spared some of these most recent barriers. They're credentialed as primary care providers without having to complete a residency. And these barriers also result in very high friction for patients. They don't understand why going to one provider, everything's covered in full or with a low copay. They see another provider, and now things are denied, payments denied by the insurer, or there's a specialty copay. I also want to just give you a little picture from a different perspective, that of a 400-employee integrated delivery system that's delivering care in neighborhoods in the Portland area. We have close to $4 million in claims for care provided by NDs that are either potentially denied or currently being contested in some fashion or another. So you know what that means with that number, 4 million. We won't be able to really continue in that way for much longer. We have to confront, as a business, we'll have to confront that problem. Again, there's no clinical or medical reason why these claims are being denied. It really seems as though the insurers are just putting restrictions up there to systematically prevent a certain group of providers from delivering care. This method is also, for what it's worth, delaying Zoom Care's growth and ability to deliver care to patients and your constituents. We have 25 clinics currently in Oregon. We would like to double that, but to do that, we really need providers, and that requires us to use NDs as primary care and frontline providers. So if this institutionalized discrimination continues, we will have to make just very tough business decisions about our growth and the providers we use. I do think that's probably what our competition would like, but that's not good for Oregonians. That would just limit the primary care that they can receive in neighborhoods quickly and at an affordable price. So the legislation that Representative Malmstrom sponsored as amended, I think, is an excellent start for an informed policy discussion during the interim. And I would hope that this results in more focused, clear legislative language so that credentialing criteria can be provided to insurers, really with precise guidelines, but still giving them flexibility in credentialing by focusing perhaps on minimum requirements across the full breadth of potential primary care providers. Zoom Care would be honored to participate in any informed policy discussion like this during the interim, and certainly assist in bringing any consensus legislative concept to fruition that can be acted upon in the 2018 session. So with that, thank you, Chair and members of the committee, for giving us a moment here today.
Any questions? Yes, sir.
So Zoom Care came to Oregon market in 2014, is that correct?
No, we were founded 11 years ago.
When did you enter the insurance market in Oregon?
Oh, the insurance market? Yes, Chair Greenlick and Representative Hayden, we entered the insurance market in 2015 to large group market.
And you're planning on exiting that at the end of 2017, is that correct?
Yes, Representative Greenlick. And
so, since my physician friend is not here, I feel that it, for some balance, it's important to ask what type of data or research, or how do you get to the point that physicians don't have the compassion and drive? Is that tied financially, or are you just saying physicians aren't compassionate? I mean, how do we get to that statement?
Chair Greenlick,
you
and
are
Representative
a physician.
Biden, I would parse out some of these discussions as leader of
Zoom
Care.
I don't think in his defense he said compassion. He said passion.
Passion.
Passion. Okay. Corrected. He did say passion.
This is a long-standing healthcare policy issue that folks graduating from medical schools, MD schools, are just not going into primary care. There's been reams and reams of writing on the topic, from the debt to just the scientific interest that drives a big portion of American medical students to pursue specialist and subspecialist care. There are primary care physicians in the market, and Oregon luckily has a very strong primary care culture in our medical school and at OHSU. But with that, it's still a decreasing number of medical graduates who are pursuing primary care. And those who are out there are, yes, for better or worse, they do come from the medical school culture. And I'm just saying, from my now 11 years of experience at Zoom Care, the NPs and PAs and NDs as a group, on average, are just much more enthusiastic about delivering the hard day in and day out in the trenches primary care. The I will stop there, but I definitely stick by saying the NPs, PAs, and NDs are more passionate and enthusiastic in general about delivering this care, and that's why we have been hiring them and continue to do so.
So, brief follow-ups.
Yeah, as long as off as you want.
Okay, I don't need that long. So, I just think it's appropriate to put on the record that the physicians are not calling into credibility or passion, or however you want to state that, of the naturopathic doctors. I think equally we should not call into question those of the physicians. And it is fair for us to look at, the history of the 2014 market leaving in 2017. Deep concerns, including lawsuits filed with DCBS, and appropriate for us to consider, is this an access only motive, or is this a financially driven motive to resolve some of those deep financial concerns? I'm not asking you to respond to that. I think that's fair for us to be aware of.
I think he's capable of responding to that. I think part of the issue is separating their decision to have care facilities from their more disastrous decision of going into the insurance market. And I think those are really two separate issues, and you might comment on that.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Greenlick and Representative Hyden. Those are two different companies. There is the insurer. We are definitely leaving the market for many of the reasons that have caused other insurers to do the same. And we have a very developed delivery system. We see 15,000 and growing patients per month. And we have been a fixture in the Portland market and will continue to grow in that market, delivering primary care, specialty care, pediatrics, internal medicine, and the other specialties.
I wonder whether you could comment on the extent to which, I have two questions, the extent to which the NDs score the same way on your preclinical, your pre-hiring clinical test?
Yes, we administer the same preclinical, pre-hire test to NDs, PAs, NPs, and MDs, and certainly across all of those degrees, there's a breadth of responses. But we have found that the NDs score very well, and obviously we focus on the top scores as a entry point into further in-person clinical tests. And I think more importantly, we just have now several years of experience with NDs delivering care and can see and compare them side by side with the other providers, and they have been excellent.
Representative Nose?
So I'm tempted to share an antidote, but I think I'm going to ask a question, which is...
Share an antidote.
Well, the antidote would be that in my 30s, I developed some sort of stomach trouble. And I'm very happy with the care that I receive at Kaiser Permanente. I want to make that clear on the record. But the MD prescribed an acid blocker. I took it for 10 years, off and on. And then I started getting strep throat a lot. And to the point where my primary care provider wanted me to have my tonsils out as an adult, which they said is kind of a big surgery. And a nurse friend of mine said, you know, you really ought to go see a naturopath. And I sort of chuckled, not knowing a lot about naturopathy. But I didn't want to have my, I didn't want to have a big surgery. So I went and they did an allergy test. Figured out that I was allergic to milk. Here I thought it was caffeine that was upsetting my stomach all the time, which I'm unwilling to give up. But turns out it was milk. It was dairy. And once I took that out of my diet, within a week, I was able to go off the acid blocker. So, you know, I mean, and I don't think I got bad care at from the MD. It was just a different approach, you know, and...
Different lens, yeah.
You know, I have not had to be on the acid blocker except when I was running for office the very first time. I went back on it right away.
That really does lead me to the question I wanted to ask next, Rob, if I may. The naturopaths will see a patient, and they'll have a very different approach to what happens to that patient than, say, your PA would have, or a physician would have. How do you deal with that in terms of integrating your practice? I mean, how, it's a much softer kind of answer. It's a more natural answer frequently. But it's very different than, I'll write you an antibiotic and go home and call me if the temperature doesn't go down. I mean, how do you deal with that in you as a clinical director of this operation?
Thank you, Chair Greenlick. I'll answer that from the Zoom care perspective, and maybe the NDs here as well can then answer. But Zoom care does have a very structured patient experience, both the physical experience, but the clinical experience. And so we are using NDs, PAs, and NPs all the same. They are delivering Western medicine, and that is protocol driven and mentored by MDs. So that is not probably the norm across the market.
Seeing a naturopath for his condition wouldn't have ended up with doing an allergy test rather than writing.
Chair Greenlick, I would hope actually that, again, all of our providers would have thought through the various approaches to Representative Nils's condition and come to the same conclusion. Our NDs at Zoom Care do have leeway and a formulary that allow them to bring in some ND care, but I'm emphasizing at Zoom, we are really focusing on performance, not pedigree. And so our whole approach is, if you come to Zoom Care, you're going to get the same clinical experience, whether you come to the Salem Clinic, the Pearl Clinic, Alberta, it's all the same. So that is a different use of the provider than maybe would happen in the community, the other community practices.
Dr. Hicks, you want to take a shot?
Yeah, Chair Greenlee and your representatives. Early on in the visit,
Please introduce yourself.
Oh, I'm Jennifer Hicks. I'm a naturopathic doctor working for Zoom Care. Early in the visit, you can usually establish a patient will tell me, I'm here to see a naturopath. I'm so glad I can see a naturopath. You know, they're very excited. And then we talk, you know, I get that they are looking at more holistic perspective, or they want that kind of advice. So we'll definitely go that route, you know, and we'll definitely talk about the options. At Zoom Care, we're kind of focusing on a 15-minute visit, which is tricky to go into all the, you know, the minutiae about diet, and but definitely taking a look at that, you know, and talking through that stuff is happening. And then I have the patient who comes in, and I know for sure they just want their strep throat treated with an antibiotic, and, you know, so it's truly just meeting the patient where they're at.
Oh, please.
Jeff Clark here again. So in my practice, I maybe a little more organic in terms of what naturopathic doctors do, but we really have a thing we call a therapeutic order, which is always try to start with the most least, the thing with the least amount of risk and the most or least invasive approach. So, example like yours, I mean, we could have given you a lot of different medications to try to treat your symptoms, or we found a cause that we were able to alleviate. I'll give you another routine thing that happens a lot in primary care is somebody comes in with high blood pressure. And I have the unique experience of having people come in saying, I have high blood pressure, but I don't want to take the drugs. I get that frequently. And so we take the time to talk to this person. It's like, well, yeah, so I'm on these drugs, and they manage the blood pressure, but I don't really want to take it. I spend the time to talk to this person and find out they're down in two pots of coffee every day. Okay? Some people can do that, and it has no effect on their blood pressure. They do exist. Okay? but, you know, at the same time, there are plenty of people where, you know, the equation kind of works out. Well, you're taking these pills to compensate for this choice that you're making.
Right.
And, you know, so in those cases, you know, we certainly can resolve it by not needing medication, by just changing behavior. At the same time, I've had patients come in who...
You don't do that in a 15-minute appointment, I think.
This is true. I've had other patients come in where, you know, the real true cause of their blood pressure is it continues to remain a mystery to me, and ultimately ended up on the blood pressure medication I really don't like giving to people because it interferes with exercise and other things, a beta blocker. But I have at least one poignant example in my own practice where absolutely nothing else worked, and this was actually the answer. So, you know, in either or thing, I don't think it has to be polarized. In my practice, you know, I'm looking for what's best for the patient, and what I really enjoy about my scope in Oregon is I got the gamut. There's a lot I can do, starting with don't drink that coffee to giving you this beta blocker. And by the way, maybe you need to go have a workup over at the cardiologist because of what else is going on there. So anyway, thank you.
And watch out for his depression that follows.
Pardon me?
And watch out for his depression that follows from the beta blocker.
Right.
Dr. Hicks, you have more to say?
Sure.
Go for it.
If we have time. Okay. Chair Greenlick and the members, thank you very much for having me here. My name is Jennifer Hicks. I'm a naturopathic doctor working at Zoom Care. I work in Portland. I live in Beaverton, and I've been practicing medicine for 12 years. I did do a two-year residency in family practice after my graduation from naturopathic school. As you know, in Oregon, we are licensed and we're trained as naturopathic or trained as primary care physicians, and we're licensed as independent practitioners. We perform physical exams. We diagnose and treat illness. We order and interpret labs and imaging, and we make referrals if they're needed. In addition to providing standard of care for all primary care services, we also are trained to prioritize health, education, and disease prevention. There's a shortage of PCPs in the state, and we as naturopaths have the potential to remedy this shortage, help remedy it. But with the current state of credentialing barriers, many primary care clinics cannot afford to hire us. It's not economically viable to do so. At Zoom Care, I'm fortunate to provide urgent care and primary care services to patients. I really enjoy my job there. I have great job satisfaction. Previous to working for Zoom, I worked at a clinic called Sherwood Family Medicine, which is an integrative medicine clinic in Sherwood, Oregon. And I love that job, too. And even though my patients were very satisfied with my care and my supervisors were very happy with my work, I ultimately was laid off due to poor insurance reimbursement for my services. All four naturopathic doctors there that worked at that clinic ultimately also lost their jobs because of lack of insurance reimbursement, adequate insurance reimbursement. Even though I'm currently happily employed at Zoom, I am nervous about my job security there for these reasons. And the changes proposed in the previous House Bill 3400 would, I think, would help protect the jobs of certain naturopathic physicians like myself, but also would benefit Oregonians wishing to seek medical care from us as naturopaths. So I'm going to talk about a couple of ways that I've seen some discriminatory practices that the bill that was the previous House Bill 3400 would have helped to eliminate, and how this would affect Oregon residents' health. Right now, currently, private insurance companies can create these arbitrary standards for credentialing NDs as primary care providers. Some of the insurers have created these standards that are unattainable by most naturopathic doctors, creating what is a false expectation to patients that they can see a naturopath for their primary care. Specifically, some insurers may require a 1 to 3 year postgraduate residency in their credentialing criteria. There's few opportunities available to new graduates, but they're mostly in the 1 to 2 year duration. 3 year residencies are virtually unheard of at this time. If an ND is not credentialed as a primary care provider through an insurance company, then they are usually classified as a specialist. And there may be several ways that patients can suffer if they see an ND not credentialed as a PCP. They may be forced to pay a higher copay or have higher coinsurance than they would pay if seeing a different type of provider with different credentials. There may be no coverage if the patient sees an ND classified as a specialist without a referral from their PCP first. Preventative services such as wellness exams, vaccinations that are provided by a naturopathic doctor may be subject to a deductible when the ND is a specialist versus it would be fully covered potentially if they had seen a PCP, either MD, ND, or MD, NP, or PA. For that service. And other times, preventive services aren't covered at all if they're provided by a naturopathic doctor who cannot be credentialed as a PCP. Financial barriers like this can result in delays in vital health services for individual patients. And patients may not be aware of the intricacies of their insurance plans and their coverage prior to making an appointment with seeing us for care. At times, after the visit is completely over, the patient realizes they need to make another appointment with a different provider with different credentials just in order for those services to be covered by their insurance, which results in frustration, duplication of services, and unnecessary health care expenses. The previous bill, 3400, or talking about these changes, would relieve these financial strains from patients who choose to see the naturopathic doctors as who are credentialed as PCPs and help ensure that the patients get the timely care when they need it. A bill like this would not only help with Oregon's primary care workforce shortages, but would also ensure that Oregon residents are better able to access their medical care that's vital to their livelihood. So for the patients that choose to see a naturopathic physician for their primary care, I thank you for your time today and your consideration of the testimony.
Thank you. Any other questions?
No, I'm good.
I do thank you guys for coming in. I look back, Albert, on discussions with you and your partner, Dave Saunders, about 20 years ago when you were young, wild physicians.
Yes.
with other crazy ideas. It's been a good run for you guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for coming in. Thank you. Please, if you haven't notified Sandy about when you can make a party, we want to have a party. It would be helpful if we can get a date for it. Close the informational hearing.
Yeah, okay. I think I'm good on the party. Go ahead and close.
Is there a date?
Adjourn.
No.
Adjourn.
No.